الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت ولا عاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsa. The clever one is he who controls his nafs. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsa. The clever one is he who controls his nafs. And by controlling his nafs, وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, he prepares for the time to come after death. He prepares for the life hereafter. He prepares for the akhirah. He prepares for the afterlife. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. In reality, the clever one is he who prepares for the life after death. But in order to prepare for the life after death, it is necessary to control your nafs. Without controlling the nafs, a person is not able to prepare for the life after death. So the clever one is he who prepares for the life after death. But because a person can only prepare for the life after death if he is able to control his desires, his nafs, his base desires, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has also mentioned that bridge. The clever one is he who prepares for the life hereafter. And the bridge that leads to preparation for the hereafter is controlling the base desire. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says that the clever one is he who prepares for the life after death. But in order to prepare for the life after death, this bridge is necessary. Without this bridge, without controlling the base desires, a person will not be able to prepare for the life after death. So it is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has specifically made mention of this part. Man dana nafsa, one who subjugates his nafs, one who subjugates his base desires. So the clever one is he who prepares for the life after death. And who will be able to prepare for the life after death? The one who subjugates his base desires. The one who controls his nafs. The one who has the reins of the nafs in his hands. So the key to become successful in the hereafter is controlling the nafs, controlling the base desires. There are two enemies that leads man astray. One is shaitan. Inna shaitana lil insani aduwwum mubin. Shaitan is indeed a clear enemy. He is an open enemy for the human. Inna shaitana lakum aduwwun fattakhidhuhu aduwwa. Shaitan is your enemy. So treat him as your enemy. Never try to befriend a shaitan. Shaitan will never have a soft corner for you in his heart. Shaitan is your eternal enemy. He will always remain your enemy. He has always been your enemy. So one enemy is shaitan. And it is this shaitan that is the main enemy. The other enemy is our childish friend. Sometimes a friend who is very childish, who is not so clever, can be worse than an enemy. The nafs is our childish friend. Whenever the nafs leads us to do something wrong, the intention of the nafs or the desire of the nafs is not to land us into any destruction. Whenever nafs takes us towards any pleasure, then the intention of the nafs is to make us enjoy. But because the nafs is our childish friend, it is not very intelligent, it doesn't understand that the consequence of this enjoyment will be very, very detrimental for me. So we have two enemies. One is a clear enemy, open enemy, that is shaitan. Shaitan has always been our enemy, shaitan will always remain our enemy. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will come to this human from all directions and I will make sure that I lead him astray. You will not find many of them obeying you. You will not find many of them obedient to you, grateful to you. Majority of them will disobey you. I will make sure. I will try my utmost. And this nafs that is within ourselves, the nafs that is within ourselves is a childish friend. And it has three stages. Stage number one, ammara. Stage number two, lawwama. And stage number three, mutmainna. When our nafs is at the stage of ammara, it is very, very childish. Very, very childish. All it looks for is enjoyment. It's like a young child at the age of two, at the age of three. Whenever that child will see something glittery, it will just go for it. Whether it is fire, whether it is something detrimental, whether it is something dangerous, it is very childish. So when the nafs is nafse ammara, it is always looking for pleasures, enjoyments, pleasures, enjoyments, pleasures, enjoyments. It doesn't think. It doesn't think whether this pleasure is permissible for me, whether it is impermissible for me, whether this pleasure is going to benefit me physically, benefit me spiritually, harm me physically, harm me spiritually. Drug, it harms a person physically, it harms a person spiritually, it harms a person mentally, psychologically, it harms a person socially. It harms a person from all aspects. But when the nafs is nafse ammara, it is very childish. It is like a two-year-old child. All it wants is enjoyment. Drug is very glittery, so it will just go for it.
Wa ma ubarri wa nafsi inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu. All the time it is encouraging the person to go towards pleasures and enjoyments. Now what do we do about this nafs? For as long as the nafs is at the stage of ammariyat, the nafs is ammara, it will remain very, very childish. And for as long as it is childish, it will not let us do anything good. It will always make us do things which are very, very detrimental for us from all aspects. It will dishonor us. It will make us do things that will dishonor us in the eyes of our teachers, in the eyes of our friends, in the eyes of our friends, our families, in the eyes of our parents. It will dishonor us in the eyes of the society. What do we do about this nafs? We have to train this nafs. We have to train this nafs. We have to nurture this nafs. We have to feed this nafs with the right things so that it doesn't remain a child of 2 years old. It grows up very quickly and it becomes clever. Because when this nafs will become clever, then it will begin to realize what is right, what is wrong, what is haq, what is batil, what is profitable, what is harmful. So we have to nurture this nafs and make it grow up quickly. We have to nurture this nafs with the tilawat of the Quran. We have to nurture this nafs with dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to nurture this nafs with the company of the pious, company of the God-fearing people, company of the pious saints, company of the people of ilm. We have to nurture this nafs by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listening to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listening about the merciful nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to nurture this nafs by reading and studying the beautiful seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to nurture this nafs by reading the accounts of the pious predecessors, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awliya, the sahaba, the anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. We have to nurture this nafs by sitting in the durus of Quran, in the durus of ahadith. We have to nurture this nafs by performing salat, by performing the compulsory salat, and by performing the optional voluntary prayers. We have to nurture this nafs by engaging in dua with total concentration. We have to nurture this nafs. And we have to nurture this nafs by making sure that no wrong food is given to the nafs. Using vulgar language, detrimental for the upbringing of the nafs. To make the nafs matured and to make it grow very quickly, we need to make sure that we don't give any food that is harmful. Swearing, backbiting, looking at non-mahram ladies, watching films, listening to music, hanging around with the wrong company, going in the wrong environment, going in the clubs, going to parties, going into functions where we may start off with a good intention but eventually end up doing wrong. We have to nurture this nafs. And nurture this nafs, when we begin nurturing this nafs, my friends, then slowly, slowly this nafs will grow. This nafs will grow. And this nafs will become more matured. And when this nafs becomes more matured, it will reach that stage when it will be called a nafsul lawwama. It is not ammara anymore. It is not so childish. Before it was 2 to 3 year old, now it is about 10 10, 12 year old. It's a teenager now. Teenager. Now a teenager understands what is wrong, what is right. A teenager understands what is wrong, what is right. But because he is still a teenager, so he tells himself that it's okay. Once in a while is okay. And then when he makes that mistake, when he goes to those glitters, after committing that mistake, the teenager feels regretful. Why am I doing this? I am a Muslim. I shouldn't be doing this. Similarly, when this nafs is child, nafs-e ammara, it cannot differentiate between wrong and right. It just goes for pleasures. When it becomes nafs-e lawwama, it can think, because it is a teenager now. It can think between what is right, what is wrong. It will try to restrain itself from wrong, and if it falls in the wrong, it will scold itself. Why? Why did you do this? Why did you do this? You were not supposed to do this. This is wrong. This is harmful for you. This is nafs-e lawwama. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. Those of us who find ourselves just running towards pleasures, 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 enjoyments, 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 and the regretful thought never entering our minds, that means our nafs is nafs-e ammara. And those of us who finds ourselves torn between two worlds, I don't want to do it because it will destroy me hereafter. I want to do it because I don't want to let go of this enjoyment. I don't want to do it because I do not want to displease my Creator. I don't want to let go of this enjoyment. Everybody is enjoying. Why shall I not? That means our nafs is nafs-e lawwama. And if the nafs is nafs-e lawwama, it is a very good sign. Because nafs-e lawwama is more nearer to the next stage, that is nafs-e mutma'inna, then it is to that lowest ebb, which is nafs-e ammara. It is a good sign. If we find ourselves torn between two worlds, I want to do it, I don't want to do it, I want to do it, I don't want to do it, I shouldn't do it. Let me just do it once, then I'll repent. No, I shouldn't do it, it's no good for me, I am a mu'min, I am a believer. Let me do it just once. What if I die? When a person is torn between two worlds, and then if he is overcome by the nafs and he commits a sin, he commits a mistake, he feels regretful, he feels filthy, he feels dirty, he makes a firm resolution not to do it again. And then he falls in that same trap again after 3 days, after a week. That means the nafs is nafs-e lawwama. It is a good sign. A little bit of effort. Little bit of effort. Give it more tilawat of the Quran. Give it more good environment. Give it more dhikr. Give it more prayers, more dua, more good environment, more nurturing. And give it the guidance of a sheikh, supervision of a sheikh. Continue to keep in touch with a sheikh so that you are able to take guidance from the sheikh. In order to nurture this nafs, that is ammara, or that is lawwama. And slowly, 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 this nafs will become nafs-e mutma'inna. When the nafs becomes nafs-e mutma'inna, then this person is a full-grown man. Full-grown, respectable member of the society. Head of the family. An alim. Imam of the masjid. Who knows what is right, who knows what is wrong, and he will make sure that he doesn't do anything wrong. Always alert. I can't do this, I can't do this. What about my honor? What about my status? What about my position? What about my position in the eyes of Allah? What will happen to me when I go in the grave? How will I show my face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? How will I cross the Pul-Sirat? I can't put my Jannah in danger. All the time alert. He knows what is right. He knows what is wrong. He knows what is beneficial. He knows what is harmful. He will stay miles away from harmful items. And he will always run towards beneficial items. This is nafs-e mutma'inna. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity to depart from this world when our nafs is nafse mutmainna. May Allah save us from departing from this world when our nafs is either nafse ammara or nafse lawwama. Because if the nafs is nafse ammara or nafse lawwama and we have to depart from this world, we are in a big problem, my friends. We are in a very big problem. Our nafs has to be nafse mutmainna when we depart from this world. And we do not know when we are going to depart from this world, so we should always make preparations and quickly reach that stage where our nafs becomes nafse mutmainna. Because when we depart from this world and our nafs is nafse mutmainna, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbik. Oh nafse mutmainna. Oh nafse mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbik. Return to your Rabb. Return to your Rabb. Your Rabb is calling you in Jannah. Irji'i ila rabbik. Not irji'i ila jahannam. Go to jahannam. No, go in the ditch of jahannam, in the grave. No, irji'i ila rabbik. Go to your Rabb. Return to your Rabb. Irji'i ila rabbik. Radiyatan mardiyatan. Radiyatan mardiyatan. Return to your Rabb. And what is your state? Your state is that you will be pleased. You will be pleased with how Allah treats you. And Allah will be pleased with how you have behaved in this world. Radiyatan mardiyatan. Allah will be pleased with you. You will be pleased with Allah. فَدْخُلِ فِي عِبَادِي. Enter the group of my servants. Enter the group of my very close servants. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Enter the group of the Anbiya. Enter the group of the Siddiqeen. Enter the group of the martyrs. Enter the group of the Sulaha, the pious. فَدْخُلِ فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Enter my Jannah. Enter Jannatul Firdaus. So nafs, when it is at its lowest ebb, it is nafse ammara. It does not understand between what is wrong, what is right. The only objective of this nafs, when it is nafse ammara, is pleasure, 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 pleasure. Whether lawful or unlawful, but pleasure. I want pleasure, I want enjoyment. To eat mango is lawful. If the nafs finds pleasure in mangoes, it will run towards mangoes. And to consume alcohol is impermissible. If it finds pleasure from alcohol, it will run towards alcohol. It looks for pleasure only. It doesn't know what is right, what is wrong. What is lawful, what is unlawful. You work hard. Nurture it. Nurture it. Let it go through some vigorous training. In the initial stages, it will seem difficult. But thereafter, it will become easy. It will become very easy. Because as you progress, it's like a young child. When you send that young child to nursery, it will cry the first day. The second day, it will cry again. The third day, it will cry again. It just doesn't want to go to nursery. But the same child, when it reaches the age of 18, 19, 20, 22, when it has to go to college and university, then this young man, now he understands what is right, what is wrong, what is beneficial, what is harmful. This young man, he knows what is the objective of going to college and university. So even if somebody was to persuade him not to go, he will say, no, I have to go. I have to go. And he will find enjoyment in his studies. He will find enjoyment when he is sitting in the class listening to the lecture of the lecturer. Similarly, in the initial stages when our nafs is nafsi ambara, then to recite the Quran, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dhikr, tasbih, dua, salat, sitting in good company, staying away from wrong company, we find it very, very difficult. But once we go through this vigorous training, then when our nafs becomes nafse lawwama and thereafter nafse mutmainna, when it is matured, we will enjoy all these things. So nafs, nafse ammara, work hard, it will become nafse lawwama, work hard, it will become nafse mutmainna. When it is nafse mutmainna, it is fully aware of what is wrong, what is right. But when the nafs is nafs-e ammara, it is a childish friend. Childish friend. And a childish friend becomes the enemy within. So we have one enemy which is outside, that is shaitan, which is our eternal enemy. And we have another enemy which is the enemy within, which is our childish friend. Now this enemy outside uses the enemy inside as the agent. And through this enemy, which is within the nafse ammara, it makes us do wrong. If we work hard on this nafs, and if this nafs becomes matured, and if this nafs does not become a childish friend, it becomes a matured friend, then shaitan will not be able to influence the nafs. Now the outside enemy remains outside, and it remains without any help from inside. So once our nafs becomes nafse mutmainna, it becomes very, very difficult for shaitan to mislead us. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the clever one is he who makes preparation for the life hereafter. And the obstacle in our making preparation for the hereafter is shaitan. And shaitan uses the nafs to prevent us from becoming successful in the hereafter. So if we are able to control this nafs and make this nafs nafse mutmainna, it will become very difficult for shaitan to influence our nafs. And if it becomes difficult for shaitan to influence our nafs, then our nafs will always lead us on the right path. So it is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-qayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. The clever one is he who controls his base desires, who subjugates his nafs. Because once the nafs is subjugated, once the nafs is under control, then shaitan becomes very weak. Shaitan's snares, shaitan's deceits, shaitan's tricks, they all become very weak. They are only strong as long as the nafs is either nafse ammara or nafse lawama. So let us try to control our nafs. And in the initial stages, when the nafs is nafse ammara, or when the nafs is nafse lawama, how do you control the nafs? You control the nafs by threatening him. You control the nafs by threatening him. In the initial stages, if somebody doesn't understand the importance of education, importance of going to nursery, primary, then you have to scold that child. Go. Otherwise I will punish you. In the initial stages. When that child begins to understand what education is, you don't have to force the child. In the initial stages, you have to scold this nafs. How do you threaten the nafs? You threaten the nafs by reminding the nafs of death. And you threaten the nafs by reminding the nafs of the day of Qiyamah. Threaten the nafs. You will have to die. You will have to die. If you continue to go towards the glitters of this world, what will happen to you when Malakul Maut comes? What will happen to you when you are laid in the grave? What will happen to you when you are resurrected on the day of Qiyamah? What will happen to you when you have to stand in the court of Allah? And Allah will question you, where did you use these ears? What did you do with these eyes? What did you do with this tongue? Where did you spend the vigor of youth? What did you do with your friends on this place at this time? Did you not remember that I had created you and I had created you for a purpose? Did you not remember that one day you would have to stand in my court and answer me? We have to threaten the nafs. What will happen to you when you have to cross the sirat? And what will happen to you if you fall in the depth of Jahannam? If we threaten the nafs will be forced to do those things that it doesn't want to do. It will be forced to do. And once it begins to do these things, then slowly, slowly through these things, it will be nurtured. It will grow. It will become matured. And once it is matured, you will not have to threaten the nafs. The nafs will understand what is good, what is bad, what is wrong, what is right, what is beneficial, what is harmful. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ الْمَوْتِ. Remember frequently that item which crushes the pleasures. Which crushes the pleasures. Which crushes the unlawful pleasures. Which prevents a person from going towards unlawful pleasures. What is that item? Al-Maut. Death. One who remembers death frequently, this death will frighten the nafs. This is a threat for the nafs. If you do this wrong, this will happen. If you do this wrong, this will happen. If you go towards this item, remember, one day you have to die. One day you will go to the grave. You will be alone in the grave. Allah will question you. Allah will punish you. The more you remember about death and the grave and the day of Qiyamah, the more the nafs will feel frightened. And it will stay away from wrong. And it will go towards good. And as the more it stays away from wrong, the more it goes towards good, the more quickly it will be nurtured, and the more quickly it will grow, and the more quickly it will become matured, and the more quickly it will become nafs-e mutmainna. And when it becomes nafs-e mutmainna, it will take control of itself. It will protect itself from the snares of shaitan. And shaitan will have no influence on our lives. And now we will be trading the sirat-e mustaqim. أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ الْمَوْتِ. Continually remember death. Continually remember death. Go to the graveyard when you get the opportunity. Once in a week, once in a month, visit the graveyard, look at the graves, think about the people who were in our society and now who are lying helpless in the grave. Read books like The Virtues of Sadaqah, Fadail-e Sadaqat, by Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Read books like The Remembrance of Death by Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Remember death. And remember the day of Qiyamah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. One who remembers and fears his standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He will be able to control his desires. So one who remembers death, one who remembers all the destinations and all the stations that are to come after death, including standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pul sirat, he will be able to frighten his nafs. He will be able to threaten his nafs. Don't do this, otherwise this will happen. Don't do this, otherwise this will happen. Then he will be able to control his nafs. And when he is able to control his nafs, he will be able to make preparation for the life hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. I will conclude with a hadith of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma said, a group of us came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we said, O Messenger of Allah, man akiyasun nas wa man ahwatun nas, who is the most clever of the people? Who is the most clever? Wa man ahwatun nas, and who is the most precocious of the people? Who is that person who safeguards himself from all aspects, who is very, very precocious? Who can be regarded as the most precocious and who can be regarded as the most clever from people? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ وَإِسْتِعْدَادًا لِلْمَوْتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَكِيَاسُ النَّاسِ. Those people who remember death frequently and who continually make preparation for the death. Death does not discriminate between old and young, healthy and sick. Sometimes the sick remains behind and the healthy goes. The old man remains behind and the young goes. The cancer patient remains behind and the healthy person goes. Allahu Akbar. People die at the age of 40 without any sickness. A relative of mine just last week performed Maghrib Salat, returned home from the masjid, and he told his wife to prepare food. And when the wife came to call him for food, he had departed from this world. Fit, young, healthy person. An associate of mine texted me a couple of days ago to tell me that two young people aged 19 passed away. 19-year-old boys passed away. They were chilling out at night. 2 o'clock in the morning, chilling out, enjoying themselves. And car crash, 2 of them passed away. This is life. This is the reality of this life. Our real life is the life hereafter, my young friends. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this life is not life. The real life is the life hereafter. وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُمْ وَلَعِيبٌ وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. There is only one life that can be called a life, and that is the life hereafter. That is the only life. This is no life. We are just passing by. This is like a cafe. This is like a bus stop. This is like a train station. We are only here for a few days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, kun fi dunya ka annaka ghareeb. Remain, stay in this world as if you are a traveler. As if you are a traveler. You are here for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You've come for a holiday. As a traveler. Aw abiru sabil. Or as a wayfarer. Not even a traveler. You are not even here for 1 week, only for a few hours. Like we stop at the cafe for a few minutes. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, after relating this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to say to his students, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ السَّبَاحِ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الْمَسَاءِ. When you go to sleep at night, do not sleep with this hope that you will wake up in the morning. And when you wake up in the morning and when you leave your home, do not leave the home with this hope that you will return at night. Death can strike any time. Any time. So let us make preparations. Let us make preparation. These thoughts that enter our minds are from shaitan and nafs. Oh, you've got a long way to go yet. Just chill out. Just enjoy yourself. You've got to know, you're only 18. You're only 20. The people you see worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid with grey beards, grey hair, who have turned very old now, they are in their 50s, 60s. They had their moments of enjoyment. It is not necessary, my friends, that you will live to see that day when you are 60 or when you are 50. And it is not necessary that the people you are seeing at the age of 50, at the age of 60, when they were young, they were also chilling out. And they were also disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who grow up and who enter their youth and who spend their entire youth in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such people will be granted shade under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ. There are certain categories of people whom will be shaded on the day of Qiyamah under his throne, when there will be no shade except the shade of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of these categories, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. That youth who entered the youth, that young man who grew up worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That immature person who entered maturity worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who continued to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even in his young age. Aksaruhum dhikran lil maut. Those who frequently remember death. Nowadays the problem with us is that when the thought of death enters our hearts, our minds, and when we begin to worry about rectification, soul purification, when we begin to worry about preparing for the life hereafter, about changing our lives, about repenting from our sinful activities, then shaitan and nafs overpowers us and we brush aside death. We brush aside the thought of death. Why? Because this thought of death will spoil my whole life. All my enjoyments. I don't want to think about death at this moment. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instructing us that you must remember death. You must bring the thoughts of death. كُنْتُ نَحَيْتُكُ مَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ أَلَا فَزُورُوهَا. Go to the graveyard. Visit the graveyard. فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Because visiting the graveyard will remind you of your death. وَتُزَهِّدُكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. And visiting the graveyard will turn your hearts away from this worldly enjoyment. Aktharahum dhikran lil maut. Those people who remember death frequently, and those people who continually make preparations for death. Ulaika akiyasunnas. These are the most clever of the people. These are the most clever of the people. Zahabu bisharafid dunya. They have gone away with the nobility of this world. Allah will grant them nobility and honor in this world as well. Zahabu bisharafid dunya. They have gone away with the nobility of this world. Wa bi karamatil akhirah. And the honor of the hereafter. So my young friends, let us go with this firm resolution that from today we will control our base desires. We will control our nafs. We will not do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to control our nafs, we will continually remind ourselves of death, of qabr, of hashr, resurrection on the day of qiyamah, of hisab, reckoning, of pulsirat, of jahannam. We will keep away from wrong company, wrong friend circles. We will keep away from bad environments, evil environments, unhealthy environments. And we will stay in good company. We will sit with pious people. We will exert efforts to control these nafs, to nurture these nafs, to make these nafs mutmainna, under the guidance, under the supervision of a sheikh. And we will spend as much time as possible in good environment, in the masajid environment. We will sit in the company of pious people, in pious gatherings, in durus of Quran, in durus of hadith. And we will always remember that one day we have to depart, sooner rather than later, and make preparations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.